So for our second segment this morning, we're going to be getting into the next in a series of important reports that are being done in cooperation with a number of important organizations, including the Connecticut Project. I'm pleased to have a representative of the Connecticut Project on the program with us this morning. Courtney Parkerson is the Connecticut Project's Director on Early Childhood Education. This report that just came out is very important in that it finally lays out some solid data in regards to early childhood literacy and the impact that reading to children in some respects makes on early childhood literacy, as well as identifying some of the challenges that certain communities have in accomplishing that. We're going to get into that conversation right after we remind you in just a few hours. We are hours away. That's right. And as somebody who loves pizza and an occasional ice cold beer, who wouldn't love working for a company that holds its own annual Pizza and Brew Fest? That's why I love talking about Connoisseur Media's annual Connecticut Pizza and Brew Fest, brought to you by Connecticut Basement Systems. It's happening today, August 2nd, at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport from 11:30 to 4. You can sample some of the best pizza and craft beers in Connecticut. Check out pizza making demonstrations, talks, live music. There's all kinds of great things going on. You can go to ctpizzaandbrewfest.com and get down to Bridgeport to the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater today for this fantastic event. Courtney, sorry I can't bring you a slice right now, but I appreciate you being able to deliver some good news and some challenges in regards to early childhood literacy. And I know you and your group have been working on this project and participating in the CT Rapid Survey. Talk to me a little bit first and help our listeners become more familiar with the Connecticut Project, your role in it, and the history that the Connecticut Project has with this rapid survey series.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on today, John. So the Connecticut Project is an organization that brings together people, ideas, and resources to create opportunity for working class people. And my role in the Connecticut Project is that I focus on our child care and early childhood education work. And so our goal there is to increase access to high quality, affordable child care and educational opportunity for our youngest residents in Connecticut. We have been partnering with the Rapid Survey Project, which is a project of the Stanford Center on Early Childhood, the Connecticut Data Collaborative, and 17 community-based organizations that have been helping us to recruit parents and caregivers of children under the age of 6 in Connecticut. And so the survey that you're referencing today is actually the fourth survey in a series of 8 surveys that we've fielded over the past 2.5 years. This survey, as you mentioned, focuses on early literacy and early relational health. We've also asked parents about childcare access and affordability, their access to developmental screening and parenting support, financial security and material hardship, and their parent and child well-being and community support and engagement. So there will be additional reports coming out over the next 6 months with findings from some of those additional surveys.
Now, are you recruiting the folks who are participating and contributing data to the survey through partnerships in the community, or are you going directly to the people to try to engage them?
Through partnerships in the community. So we've been really fortunate to have 17 different community-based partners that we've been working with over the past 2.5 years. And these are organizations that have existing relationships with families. Some of them operate childcare centers. Some of them function as early childhood collaboratives in their community, and so connect families with resources, sponsor play groups. And so we are working with those partners who have existing relationships with families to recruit families to complete the survey, online, and then families receive a gift card for participating in the survey.
Mm. I love that that this particular chapter focuses not just on reading and early childhood literacy, but also the importance of play and even family meals.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That, you know, reading is one very important activity that families can engage with their children. And there are many other things that families can do as well. Talking with their children, playing with their children, engaging in regular routines with their children, like having family meals. All of that is so important to early relational health. You know, offering the kind of like safe, stable, and nurturing relationships that promote both children's well-being as well as their parents' well-being.
So tell me a little bit about the findings from this survey.
The findings were very encouraging. Overall, survey responses revealed that most parents are engaging in daily reading, bonding activities, and shared routines with their children, which means that parents across the state are doing the kinds of things that really promote early relational health and early literacy. The troubling thing about these findings, however, was that differences by income appear throughout the survey findings. And I really want to underscore that these differences likely reflect the time and resource constraints that many low-income families across Connecticut face, which really do limit opportunities for parent and child interactions. Working class parents are working really, really hard to find the time and resources to read and play with their children. And our state can do a lot more to eliminate barriers to books, ensure that families have access to culturally sensitive stories, and really to provide hardworking parents more time to spend with their children.
Now, do you see, we'll probably talk a little bit more about this later, but is the survey out there to present just the findings, or are there also recommendations to close some of these gaps or increase some of these, statistics of participation?
The survey is intended to share data to help inform policy and program delivery. And so it's really intended to elevate the voice of families with young children to ensure that their day-to-day experiences are taken into account as policies are developed and as programs are designed. So the report really focuses on the findings and less so on the recommendations. But I'm happy to share some of what, I think the state could do to maybe act on some of these data if that's helpful.
Sure. Yeah. Then let's get to that after we finalize reviewing the findings. I imagine it was quite heartening to know that 7 in 10 parents claim to read to their young children daily, and 9 out of 10 at least a few times a week. I mean, that's a spectacular start to the journey, right?
It is, exactly. As I said, I mean, it is an encouraging finding for sure. I think families really do realize that this is an important activity to engage in. And seeing that kind of consistency is certainly encouraging.
Mm. And now you did mention being able to not just access books and read them, but also that the stories in those books and the people in those books look like the families who are reading them. You mentioned culturally sensitive material. This is a bit of a barrier, isn't it?
It is, yes. So cultural representation was definitely in stories and books was definitely a barrier that came to light in the survey findings. So 37% of all parents struggle to find books that reflect their family's identity and experiences. And this was particularly true for Latino and Black parents. They were significantly more likely than white parents to say that it was difficult to find books that reflect their family. Mm. So I think that is a finding that we certainly need to consider seriously and encourage a proliferation of stories that are more better represent families in terms of culturally, linguistically, family makeup. Yes, that was a significant finding that emerged. Mm.
Did it compound the challenge for families for whom English is not either their first language or their predominant language in the household, because the only books that they're actually able to access are in English, and the inability maybe to be able to articulate what's being written in those books is discouraging.
Yeah, that was another finding. So 2 in 3 parents who speak a language other than English at home reported difficulty accessing children's books in their home language. So ensuring that we have access to books that are written in a diversity of languages is also another important consideration.
Okay. Now, the early relational health was another part of this. Can we reflect on that a little bit?
Absolutely. So again, early relational health really refers to the safe, stable, and nurturing relationships that promote a child's well-being as well as their parents' well-being. And so, as I mentioned, in addition to reading, things like talking to your child, singing with your child, playing with your child, having consistent family meals are all things that families can do to promote early relational health.
And what was the what were some of the statistics in the survey that jumped out at you?
So again, we saw across the board very high percentages of families engaging in back and forth communication and play with their children. So over 80% of the parents that completed the survey indicated that they do those things with their children regularly. 70% of families said they sing with their children daily. And the majority of families indicated that they have some family time together each week and eat at least 5 weekly shared meals as a family. Unfortunately, this is also a case where we saw that lower income families reported fewer types of daily bonding activities, less frequent family times, and fewer shared meals per week compared to higher income families. And again, I think it really is that time constraint that working class families often feel that impacts their ability to engage in these important types of bonding activities.
Mm. Well, Courtney, as the Connecticut Project's director on early childhood education, you mentioned earlier that separating yourself from the exclusive information in this round of surveying. What are a few of the things you see that could act in some capacity in addressing the shortcomings that you're seeing or boosting the statistics that you'd like to see improved in this chapter of these survey series?
So I think creating family-friendly policies can go a really long way to addressing these types of disparities. So for example, if families earn living wages and aren't forced to work multiple jobs, they will have more time and more energy to spend with their children engaging in these kinds of developmentally meaningful activities. Family medical leave for new parents and annual paid time off are other really important policies that create opportunities to encourage more parent and child bonding and interaction. And finally, humane and predictable work schedules is another opportunity that can help address the lack of time and energy that many parents of young children face on a daily basis. If families have more predictable work schedules and are working hours that enable them to come home and have a shared meal with their child at the end of the day, can create opportunities within their daily schedule for these kinds of activities, that could really go a long way to promote their ability to engage with their children in these kinds of things like reading and shared family meals and, you know, play.
Sure. Well, thank you for both the analysis of the, you know, the high points of the survey, as well as a little bit of, you know, expert input onto trying to seek solutions or improve some of the positive statistics that the survey has already shown. Courtney Parkerson is the Connecticut Project's Director on Early Childhood Education. The Connecticut Project, along with a number of 17 community partners and their main partner, the Stanford Center for Early Childhood, had just released findings from the fourth Connecticut Rapid Survey focusing on early literacy and early childhood health among families with young children in Connecticut. Courtney, let's leave it with letting people know where they could go to learn more about the Connecticut Project and to dig into this stage or chapter in the surveys.
Yeah, so if you're interested in reading more about this survey, I encourage you to check out our Rapid Survey Hub, which is actually hosted by the Connecticut Data Collaborative. So you can go to ctdata.org/rapid-survey-hub. And if you're interested in learning more about the Connecticut Project, you can find us at tcpaf.org.
Very good. Courtney, thank you so much for the information this morning. Great to chat with you. And we may be circling back if you are tied to the next chapter in the series of these rapid surveys that are happening in Connecticut. Thanks for your time.